Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. And today we talk about a very special topic, venture studios. Maybe you as listeners know Fastbreak One, Flying Rhino, we are all venture studios and we work closely together with corporates. But when we talk to corporate executives and leaders, we very often face big question marks when it comes to, hey, we are a venture studio, can we support you? And they ask, what is a venture studio? Never heard about that. So today we try to bring a bit of a light into this topic. We want to talk about what are venture studios and what is the future of corporate innovation. And of course, I will not do it by myself. I have my lovely co-host here with me. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Matthias.
And today we have another great lady, Diana Lesage, or Lesage. It's a French name, but Diana is the expert in the market when it comes to venture studios. So she's currently advising a lot of studios to set it up in the right way. But she did also a great research on venture studios and is running the venture studio database. She knows almost all venture studios around the world. Hi, Diana.
Hello. It's so great to be on the podcast today. I'm very excited about the conversation.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, we as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we go into this truly hot topic of venture studios, maybe you can give a short intro about yourself, who you are, what you have done so far, and what makes you the expert of venture studios?
Absolutely. So I started out as an entrepreneur, went to school for business and wanted to be a startup founder. Founded a couple of companies out of school super early on and realized I like the operations element of startups, but wasn't necessarily the best person to be a face of a startup. So I went to work for an accelerator in the Boston area that ended up kind of changing the model halfway through and started to build their own companies, which was interesting to me because I hadn't seen that type of hybrid, what we now know as a venture studio, but I hadn't seen that before. As an operations person, I started to look at the model and understand, okay, this is a bit different from an accelerator. It's not exactly a venture fund. Like, what is this? And I realized in 2016 that there was this thing called Venture Studio, which was obviously kind of pioneered well before that, but hadn't become mainstream yet. So that led me into the Venture Studio ecosystem. In 2019, I helped to build a Venture Studio from scratch with a person in the future of work space. And then I kind of graduated into consulting for venture studios and advising for emerging venture studios specifically, working in the 0 to 1 phase of venture studio building. And then in the past, I mean, I've held a lot of different positions across studios from like COO to chief of staff to head of platform. I've run studio accelerator programs. I've helped studios fundraise, a bunch of different things. But my most recent experience with a studio was with a Web3 venture studio, doing content marketing and community building, which was a really interesting transition for me because my background is kind of formally in operations and not marketing. But as I'm learning, the kind of as the studio ecosystem gets more condensed and there's more players in the space, marketing and community building as a strategy for growth is actually really successful. So building my skill set in that, and that's kind of where I'm at now and the evolution of my background.
That's a lot of things. Very impressive. You're based in the US, right? You're in Boston?
I am, yes.
You mentioned 2016, you entered the venture studio space. Maybe you can explain a bit where everything started with the venture studios. As that there are some kind of misconceptions or maybe not knowing things about venture studios, but this is not a fancy topic of 2024 or 2023. There's already a kind of a history for venture studios.
Yeah, absolutely. The history of Venture Studio actually dates back to 1996. And to be clear, holding companies have been around for a lot longer. There's a difference between holding companies and venture studios that we can talk about the nuances a bit. But 1996, Idealab was formed as a company to basically kind of do the venture studio model before it was on mainstream. So Venture Studio is a company that builds companies, essentially. And Bill Gross had the idea of kind of a holding company that wasn't just going to buy multiple startups and put it under one umbrella, but was also going to build his own startups with an in-house incubation team. There's another studio that launched at the same year, Blenheim Chilcott, I think is how you say it, probably ruining the name, but they did launch at the same time. There was like a second wave of studios that came a little bit later, 2019, 2020, which was a lot of the ones that we know of as the most well-known studios today. Because they launched a while ago, they've had several really successful exits, including Dollar Shave Club, which I think came out of Science Inc. There's been Rover, the dog care app, Hims and Hers. There's lots of them that came out, Snowflake. So lots of startups coming out of these studios, and that's why they're more well-known. These are like the Human Ventures, Science, Atomic, Pioneer Square Labs, Madrona Venture Labs. These are the second wave of studios. And then more recently, 2020 to 2024, there's been a massive amount of really niche studio launches. We're talking about different industries kind of combining resources and saying, we're going to develop startups in these lanes, being like fintech is a big one. Health tech is another big one. Climate tech is a great one. There are just so many. And then there's also in technology focused studio. So like we build ventures across a variety of different industries, but using one specific technology. So AI would be a good example of that. Web3 type of technology. There's some machine learning venture studios. There are some Internet of Devices studios that kind of focus on a specific technology rather than a vertical industry. And then the third type of studio that's emerged is this kind of location specific studio. You can look at like High Alpha in Indianapolis or Pioneer Square Labs out of Seattle, Madrona Venture Labs, Seattle. They really take the ecosystem. Rev1 Ventures, I think, is Columbus, Ohio. They take the industry and the local resources, so talent, investors, impact on the local ecosystem, and really like leverage all that to superpower the startups coming out of the studios, but they're location focused versus industry or technology focused. So the studio ecosystem has gotten a lot more nuanced as more and more studios are launched every year. And I think it follows the path of venture in that way very distinctly.
In fact, hearing all the different niches you described and the different verticalizations or specializations, it makes me think that for now, even if there are a lot of startup studios popping up everywhere, they're not really in competition with each other, or are they? Because unless you're specialized in fintech and then the other startup studio is also specialized in fintech and is in like in your country targeting the same customers. But if, you know, one is on working on fintech and the other one on health tech, then they're not competing, right? They could actually work together.
Absolutely. And I think one of my predictions for 2024 in terms of venture studios is, I wouldn't say a consolidation of the ecosystem, but I would say a real collaboration partnership and almost merging of studios developing partnerships with one another. I think it's because there are so many, they're very specifically focused. Like I was just speaking with someone who's launching a sports tech venture studio. So he's really focused on creating technology for athletes. That's not going to compete with someone in a health tech space, for example. But the leverage between the two of them, if you need access to certain resources and things, you don't have to go get those all on your own. You can partner with a studio that's kind of in an adjacent space, and there's no competitive issue there. And even with studios that are in the same space, so let's take like two fintech venture studios, very likely that they're going to share talent and recommendations and strategies versus like seeing each other in a competitive sense. Because there's a lot of studios that don't have the capacity to take on, you know, they're building 2 to 3 ventures a year. Like that might be their mandate. So if they get a really excellent founder that they can't take on at the time, passing it to a similar venture studio and sharing that resource is going to happen. I don't think it's that way necessarily in that traditional venture capital ecosystem where things are very competitive. And the studio space, like there are so much sharing of resources. And I think it's just a testament to the ethos of venture studios in general is the kind of you build companies in parallel. That's one of the pieces. And you share resources across those companies that omit economies of scale. So sharing resources, whether it's within your studio across different companies or with different startup studios that are kind of adjacent to you or your friends with the founders or something, it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of part of the way that studios operate.
Right.
Yeah, before we go further into the details of what are the nuances of venture studios and what we see, can we define a bit more what is exactly a venture studio?
Yeah, absolutely. So venture studio is a company that builds companies, basically kind of like an assembly line. And the things that venture studio does that make it different than an accelerator, for example, is there's no curriculum, there's no time limit. So when there's a company that's building companies, they are sharing resources and sharing talent and team, validating ideas from the very early stage and bringing them through this kind of process of validation, creation, you know, developing the MVP and then spinning out a company that is going to end up as an independent entity. So once it leaves the studio, it kind of operates on its own. It raises its own venture capital and it really just operates as an independent studio. An accelerator, just to give a kind of a juxtaposition, an accelerator doesn't build its own companies, right? It launches a cohort with however many founders are going to be in the cohort, but then it brings them through curriculum of how to build a startup. There's a demo day at the end. It's got a start and end date. And then those startups graduate from the accelerator and they go off. The venture studio has equity in the companies that they build and they support it from the very early stage. So there's no program, there's no time limit, and there's no kind of repeated cohorts. It's just venture building in succession. And I think the difference between a venture studio and a venture capital firm, to like kind of make that clear, is a venture capital firm does not create its own startups. It only funds external startups, even at a super early stage. Like they might be a pre-seed venture capital firm. That's great. They're going to fund sometimes idea stage ventures, but they're not making their own and they're not applying their own team to the startup. So a venture studio will do that. It could be a single founder coming in with an idea. They like the idea. They go through a validation process with their own people from the studio. They will sit on the same side as the entrepreneur and work through validating an idea and get it through MVP development and creation and stuff. And they take equity in exchange for these types of services. They usually do invest in the company, but they also are like a co-founder of the startup versus an accelerator or a venture capital firm that does not build its own startups. It just funds them in a certain way.
I think you outlined perfectly what a studio is. It's a factory, right? And the factory is run by serial entrepreneurs who have created their own businesses before. So they learned the hard way. And then they said, okay, let's create a factory building new startups. You also outlined different nuances of venture studios for industries, for specific topics, but also for corporate venture building. Maybe you can explain a bit where those nuances come from and what is corporate venture building.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important thing to remember about a venture studio is the goal and the reason why they're so successful. And I could go on and on about the statistics, like startups coming out of venture studios reach seed series 30% faster than startups built in the traditional way. And of those startups, 70% reach Series A funding, which is obviously like if you look at the startup failure rate, like it's a big difference. Startups coming out of studios are much more successful. But the thing to know about studios, why that actually happens, the success rate is so high, is because they rely on economies of scale, which is basically they have these playbooks that are repeatable. And every single time they build a startup, specifically if they're focused in one industry, they get better and faster at building startups because one, they have like a go-to-market strategy that they've tested, tried and experimented with, and it works. And they just keep deploying that same strategy and iterating every time. And then secondly, they can reuse a lot of resources, including customer bases, investor connections, and everything just happens faster than it would if you were building one startup at a time in a variety of different industries. Like you can't reuse a lot of these things. So economies of scale are how venture studios iterate really quickly and build startups that are faster and cheaper and oftentimes more successful than startups that are built just in the traditional way. With corporate venture building, the big difference is that instead of working with startup founders and taking their ideas and commercializing them, they're working studios that are dedicated to working with corporate organizations, will work with that organization to understand their competitive advantages, their kind of unfair advantages in the market that they operate in, that the corporate operates in, and commercialize technology and products that make sense for either giving them a new revenue stream, like kind of outside commercializing a product and then having them be like, this is now your product and you can sell it. And we have part equity in it, but so do you. And like, this is a new revenue stream for you. And eventually, potentially a huge exit. That's a big influx for you. Or solving an internal problem for the corporation where they need HR technology and there's an HR tech venture studio that they partner with to build a venture that solves a problem internally for them. The difference is that corporate venture studios don't work with founders. They work with leaders of organizations and corporate entities that want to pursue innovation efforts.
So for a corporate executive, why should they really consider studios? How does the studio model fit into this whole innovation landscape of corporates?
Most corporate organizations want some level of innovation. Like, they understand disruption and the fact that if they don't start innovating, it's very likely that their business model and their current offerings are not going to keep up with what's going on, especially with AI and like all these different things. So most corporates actually want to innovate. Obviously, the problem is they're way too big. They have a lot of red tape. They're really slow. And then the other less obvious problem is that corporates don't have an innovation strategy. Like, they don't know how to build startups. That's not what they do. They know how to optimize for efficiency and launch in new markets or something, but they don't have any kind of understanding of building startups. They don't have an innovation strategy. So that's one reason. Like, it's not like the corporates don't want to, they just don't know how to. And sometimes they just can't because they're too big and things move too slowly. That's where corporate innovation studios come in. There's a bunch of them. If your listeners want to kind of go research, I wrote down a couple. Highline Beta, it's a great one. Rainmaking, New Lab, Right Partners, Coplex, High Alpha, Fast Break, obviously. And it's the opportunity to partner with someone who brings innovation expertise to the table versus like trying to develop that within your own corporation where it doesn't exist and the culture isn't right for it. So you partner with someone who you bring the domain expertise as an organization, let's say in logistics or something. Like, the startup studio, the venture studio isn't going to know anything about logistics. What they do know how to do is build startups. So they bring the innovation expertise, you bring the domain expertise, and together that's a super powerful combination. And I think you're either looking to do a couple of things when you're a corporate that's looking to kind of get into innovation and thinking about partnering with the studio. You're either looking to create a new revenue stream. So your kind of like existing business could be doing fine or it could be faltering or something, but you're like, we need to expand a bit. We need a new revenue stream or a couple new revenue streams or something. Working with a venture studio on creating a new product or service, leveraging your existing assets is a really straightforward idea. The second thing is to solve an internal problem. Like I talked about, there was a venture studio that I worked for that helped a company, a bigger company, solve a diversity and inclusion hiring problem internally by creating a SaaS tool to help with identifying and coordinating those efforts. So that's kind of like solving an internal problem. The corporate will work with the studio to develop this kind of product, but then ultimately take it in-house and basically buy the studio out of that agreement. And then they just own it. So they use it internally as a tool. And the third thing is, I think that's often overlooked, is like exciting top talent. Most really talented people want to work for organizations where there's innovation opportunities. Most people that are like really talented and interesting and smart have ideas for company improvement or startups or different things. Like, if you're going to be a company that's not interested in their ideas at all, they're going to look elsewhere. Like, that's kind of the nature of where the talent market is headed right now. So a lot of organizations want to just develop kind of an in-house solution for this. So if you're an employee with an idea, you have something to do with that idea, whether or not it's a valid idea or whatever, that's kind of what the studio is there to figure out. But there's somewhere that you can take that passion that you have for the problem-solving thing and do something with it. So exciting top talent is actually another good reason why corporates want to work with innovation studios.
Oh, that's interesting. The last one hadn't really crystallized in my mind, but you're right. It's a new way of working. It's kind of a breath of fresh air sometimes. And you have a direct impact on your company's business, whether it's to solve an internal problem or to compete in the market or find new revenue opportunities or generate new revenue opportunities. Would you say, do you see a difference in market readiness for working with studios across the globe?
I haven't been able to pick up on a pattern from a location perspective, but I do have a tool which we can link to called the Global Venture Studio Database. It breaks down every single studio in the world, and there's new ones popping up all the time. So I'm not going to say it's a complete list, but it's filterable by a lot of different things, like in terms of location, also domain, year founded, team size, different things like that. And one of the patterns I have been able to pick up from doing a lot of the research with the database is the interesting industries, I would say like vertical industries, that have a lot more to do with corporate venture building. So there are some studios that are specifically and they only work in corporate venture building type activities. And then there are some studios that work in a hybrid way where they like build ventures of their own. They work with corporates and stuff. There's a couple of industries that are really well positioned to work with corporates, specifically healthcare, climate tech, anything within an academia. So like a lot of universities are partnering with venture studios to commercialize ideas coming out of labs and biology type things. And there's lots of different types of organizations. So there are certain industries that lend themselves better to working with venture studios. But I think the biggest thing is just the corporations that want to develop some kind of an innovation strategy are well poised to either, if you're not going to build an actual venture, but having a strategy for like an end of an outlet for intrapreneurship, or what are you going to do if one of your employees comes up with an idea? What's the kind of next step for that, and not having to figure it out as you go, but being proactive in developing an innovation strategy? A lot of studios do that with corporates, and just more of like a consulting arrangement versus like working with them to commercialize an actual venture. So there's different ways that you can work with a studio.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
So we talked about how mature is this model around the world. But on the other side, what is also interesting is when does it make sense for a corporate, for an enterprise, to look for a collaboration with the studio?
Yeah, I think it's kind of counterintuitive, but the older the corporation is and kind of the bigger they are, the better the opportunity to work with a studio. Because like I said, one of the biggest reasons that corporates aren't good at innovation is because they're too big and there's too much red tape. So if you wanted to commercialize something, trying to get it through the ropes and the people that you have to talk to and all of the different, like they're not going to, it's too risky and all the stuff, like the bigger a corporate is, the less risk they're willing to take on. So it's counterintuitive, but the bigger and older a corporation is, and specifically if their industry is like dying, like newspaper or something, like they need to innovate or they're going to die. Those are the types of corporates that are really well suited to work with startup studios and venture studios. Because they have assets, they have unfair advantages, they have customer lists, they have products, they have distribution, they have assets. The newer kind of organizations are nimble enough and have a better grasp on technology and what's out there and have more of an open mind. They're going to be experimenting over there. The older and kind of bigger and slower organizations are not going to have an innovation strategy or a plan for experimentation in that space. And they're going to start losing great employees. The industry is going in a certain direction that they can't follow. Like those are the types of corporations that would be well poised to work with a venture studio. And luckily there's enough corporate venture studios that have like niche focuses at this point. They used to be really agnostic and like we work with any corporate in any industry. Now there's certain venture studios that are like, we're really good at working with life sciences corporations and commercializing technology coming out of your lab or something, like a very specific and focused studio, which I think is a testament to the evolution of the industry.
I mean, it goes also hand in hand with our observations. So the older the corporate, the better it is for them to work with a studio. I would also describe it like they unlearn what it means to be an entrepreneur. So the corporate, years for years, they started to optimize their business model. We yeah. also have worked together with a major insurance company, and then they started to build a new business model, really outside of their core. We need something new. And they invested a lot of money in, so they just focused on building the right features. And then after 2 years, they figured out, oh, we spent millions, but we have almost zero traction. And this is exactly what always happens with those corporates. So, and this is what a venture studio, I think, brings to the table, this lean model, but very focused model and fast model. Are there also some kind of pitfalls you should avoid as a corporate working with studios?
Yes, absolutely. And as someone who has worked in a corporate venture building role, and by that I mean I was full-time in a studio, we had corporate clients, and I was the kind of lead representation on that project. So working directly with corporations, I've seen a couple of things. I think the first thing that I would recommend is you got to kind of try to change the culture in the company, which is, depending on how big the company is, it's going to be pretty hard. The first thing you can do is just to start to empower your employees. So before even considering working with a venture studio, think through what would it be like if an employee had an idea for a venture or a way to improve the company or something, and start to just empower your employees. That's a really good way to just start to change the culture and shift it a bit to a more open mindset. And it kind of opens up the doors to creative thought for people who are interested in innovation. I think that's like a good first step and something that any corporate can do. But it's not all kind of rose-colored glasses when it comes to working with studios and a corporation. One of the things is that you are not going to have the people to apply to that project. So when I was working with a corporate on a project setting, we had a team of three people. The corporate was going to kind of elevate a leader within their organization to basically lead this new startup. If we were able to validate an idea, that person from within the organization was going to be this kind of CEO and founder of the company that's going to end up ultimately running its own thing outside of the corporation. I think a lot of times that sounds good in theory, but the mindset of people that are working within the corporation and the skill set in the background isn't necessarily fit for running a venture scale startup. So I would say don't think necessarily that the person that's going to run the company is going to come from inside the corporation. It's probably going to have to be a coordinated effort between you and the venture studio to go find the right person that's kind of a CEO for hire. So it's good and bad, because that means you're not losing one of your top people to a startup that you've created, but it's going to slow things down a bit. Speed, I think, is the second pitfall here, because startup studios want to move really, really fast. It's kind of their point, is to build startups really quickly and fail really quickly and learn and just like keep iterating that process until it gets faster and cheaper and better and successful. Corporations don't move that quickly. And there's going to be a rub there between the two, the startup studio kind of getting frustrated with the lack of progress, and then the corporation getting frustrated with the demand on their time and people. So there's going to be a little bit of frustration there. And I think the third thing is, as the corporation, you're probably going to be the one to put up the money to fund the venture building process, and you're going to have to open up your access. So the studio is going to ask for customer lists. They're going to ask for asset allocations. They're going to ask for unique advantages. They're going to want to talk to your people. They're going to want to talk to your partners. They're going to need lots of access, because they're basically trying to leverage your unused assets or underutilized assets to build a new company. Like, that's kind of the point of working with you and them working with you. So they're going to bring the innovation expertise. You got to bring the domain expertise and the assets. And that's scary for a lot of corporations, and they want to pull back the reins and stop the project at that point. So before getting into a conversation with a studio, know that that's what's going to be the expectation. And if that's not comfortable for you, then I think, you know, trying a different route might be the best.
But all this can be framed with contracts and stuff like that, right? Yes, you are asking the corporate to open up, but within a very specific framework and with a very precise goal. So I think that can be anticipated, discussed, and made secure, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the biggest pointer or tip that I have for a corporation. Other than trying to elevate your employees and really giving them the green light to be innovative, because that's important. But secondly, if you are going to work with a venture studio, take the time to set the expectations up front. So talk about equity. It's going to be an uncomfortable conversation sometimes, but talk about equity. Talk about all the different types of scenarios. So when they happen, there's a game plan, because once you're in it, everyone is starting to feel a bit uncomfortable. The startup studio wants to move faster. You're not comfortable with their level of access. It's like, if you haven't chatted about these things, what happens if they want to buy the startup and just take it internally? What happens if it commercializes and now we need to like fundraise, and who's putting up the investor contacts? Like, talk about almost everything you can think of up front. And as far as legality, I think one of the big things that's interesting about working with a venture studio as a corporation is they take on a lot of the risk so it doesn't have to sit on your side of the table. So a lot of times the corporations won't commercialize a new venture or a startup because it's a very risky component to their core business model. So a studio will actually do the incorporation of the startup, and the risk is going to lie in their domain. So they're taking the risk off the table for you in a sense, but you're putting up the budget for the startup building process. So there's like a trade-off, but these are the types of things you have to talk about upfront and really get clear on, and kind of make a plan for scenario type planning.
You mentioned equity. I think now that the studio model is starting to get known a bit, it's less of a problem, but initially, I remember the first discussions I was having, and people were very reluctant with the fact that the studio takes equity, yet that's the principle of the motivation of the studio also. And that's part of the business model of the studio. Can you say a few words about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that sets venture studios apart from, let's say, venture capital firms is there's usually a bigger equity stake in the startups that the studio is building. So traditional VC will take anywhere from 2% sometimes to 10 or 12% equity. And that's like basically the highest. Whereas a venture studio starts at like 15%, and the highest I've seen is 50%. So when they're working with the founder is incentivized with a share of the equity, but the studio is going to have like a 20 to 50% of equity in the startup, which is concerning sometimes for investors on the cap table and all these other things, which is a bit more on the startup side of things. But when it comes to corporate venture building, this is one of the things that's the most painful in the conversation, is the equity piece of things. My thoughts is like kind of go 50-50. It almost feels like that's the right incentive alignment. But then you have the corporate that's billed for all of the expenses. So the typical, I think, within the realm of studios working with corporates is like around 30% is what I've seen, depending on how much budget the corporate is putting up and how many of the assets are being leveraged from the corporate side. But I think it's always a conversation. And then you have to think through the exit plan as well and make sure that you're on the same page. Because if the corporate is planning to buy this venture and take it in-house, like you're solving an internal problem for the corporation, equity doesn't matter realistically. I mean, they're going to buy it and you kind of negotiate a price and type thing. And then it's a bit more of an innovation for service versus if you're planning to commercialize this and raise venture capital and all this other stuff, then that kind of has to be figured out ahead of time. Yeah, the equity conversation is always interesting, because that's like kind of the gist of it, is like studios do take a significant portion of equity for the amount of work they do and the expertise they bring to the table. And if it makes you, you know, $50 to $100 million extra a year in terms of creation of a new revenue stream, then that's kind of worth it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But we also see very often as a triangle of ownership, the studio, the corporate, but you also need to reserve some shares for the founders, right? So,
yeah.
And what you also mentioned before, talking about governance, setting the governance rules right, the governance structure right. We also very often recommend to corporates to initiate and install a kind of a growth board or a kind of a startup board or whatever, which has the decision power and the budget to invest into startup independently of the core business. Maybe as a last topic for our podcast, how do you see the future of studios? So if they're kind of the top reached, or will it further evolve? So how do you see the future?
from what I can see, and I'm not an expert on venture capital, so I don't know, but from the research I've been able to see, the venture studio market follows the venture capital market pretty closely. It's just venture capital market has been around a lot longer. So you can look at the kind of evolution of these types of things, and then you see like funds are starting to go earlier and earlier. I think studios are starting to invest earlier and earlier. There are some studios that literally give money to a person without an idea, and they're just like, we like you, we think you're great. There's like Founders First is an example of this. We'll give you $300,000. We want you to come up with a business. Like, this is a stipend to come up with something. Obviously, you have to be an exceptional entrepreneur to get in that cohort, but they're literally investing like pre-idea. So they're going to move earlier and earlier. I think that's kind of a good prediction. I think there's going to be a bit of a consolidation across the studio ecosystem, as there's a lot of very small studios that are kind of operating in the same space physically or industry-wise. And I think there's going to be a consolidation there where there's going to be a conglomerate of studios that are like kind of working together. I think with corporate innovation in particular, we're going to see studios get more nuanced. Like I said, most of the studios that are specializing in corporate innovation do kind of agnostic work. So they'll do a variety of different industries. They work with different technologies. I think we're going to see them get more focused in their industry. Like, it's going to get more nuanced and more focused in the ecosystem. And I think there's going to be a lot more of, I don't know how to say it, like, but like firms that are in this startup support space turning into venture studios. I talk on a weekly basis with a number of venture capital leaders and venture capital firms that want to start building their own ventures, either within a firm or like just go off and launch their own type of thing. But the startup support ecosystem accelerators are going to start building their own ventures. Incubators are going to start taking equity in ventures and supporting with more hands-on resources. I think there's just going to be a lot of this, the startup support ecosystem is going to start to build their own ventures and like understand that this is a process that can be systematized. So they're going to start to like move into the space. So you're going to have a lot of hybrid like accelerator type studio agencies turned venture studio or like a hybrid combination of both. And then on the corporate side specifically, I think you're going to see a lot of corporations launch their own innovation studio within the corporation. So you see this with Procter & Gamble. They have their own studio. Obviously, Google has like their own internal studio. Microsoft has one. There's a lot of just big companies that are like, we're big enough and we know we need to innovate. They're going to bring in innovation teams and innovation experts and build their own in-house studio versus partnering with venture studios. But it doesn't mean that venture studio partnerships and corporate partnerships is going to go away, because I think as the ecosystem evolves, bringing in innovation people within your ecosystem and your specific corporation focus is one thing, but it doesn't mean you're going to hire a full dev team, a full design team, a full marketing team. Like, you're still going to rely on relationships with external providers. And I think they're going to look to venture studios outside of their own internal venture studio for those types of relationships. So there'll still be relationship building across the venture studio and corporate ecosystem. I just think we're going to see a lot more corporations starting to think about building their own internal venture studios, which I think provides an interesting opportunity for venture studios that are operating in the corporate space. Corporations don't know how to build a venture studio. You have built one already and you work with corporates. So teach them how to build a venture studio internally. Like, that's a new opportunity for a venture studio that's in the corporate space. So I think there's just a lot of things that are going to happen, but it's a lot of just consolidation and evolution.
This is very good news. This signals to me that the model of a studio getting more and more known and also gets more and more traction. So it proves that this is the right way forward for innovation, not only for corporates, but in general. So it's a natural evolution, right? So going from accelerators, incubators, or whatever into a studio and building those factories for startups. And it sounds very good. And you mentioned also at the beginning, you have a big database of venture studios. So very quickly, maybe if someone is interested in this model, how can they get access? How can they maybe leverage your knowledge?
So I do a couple of things in the studio. I mean, ecosystem, obviously I'm on LinkedIn. I write a lot there. I do post on like predictions for the venture studio ecosystem, tips for corporates and building internal innovation type things. So I think it's relevant for the audience in terms of like the posts out there. The other things I do is a blogs. I typically do like research-backed blogs. I wouldn't call them white papers or like seminal pieces or anything, but my blog, which we can link to, is a really good source for, I've written a lot of things on corporate venture building and a lot of things that are explainers on the venture studio model and how and where it's going. I also put out a newsletter every Friday. That's the Startup Studio newsletter. There's stories at the top. The news section is almost every single week, there's a corporation venture studio partnership update. Like there's always news on that type of thing. So if you're looking to stay up to date with those types of partnerships and the evolution of the space, like I think that's a good place to go. And then there's the database, which realistically, if you are looking for a corporate venture studio to work with, this database has them all listed out. If you just kind of filter the Airtable, that's what the database is built in by corporate innovation. You'll see all the corporate innovation studios in the world, and you can go to their websites and check out what they do and if they're a good fit for you, if they're in your specific location or if they operate within your niche or something. So I think it's a really good like research tool for like vetting different organizations and things. The database, it's available now. We can link to it. It's $20. I wanted to charge a little bit for it, and not like anything that was crazy, just because it's, I took a lot of time and update it by hand every week and make sure that everything is accurate. And then all the new studios that I'm aware of get added to this database. So I update it weekly. But yeah, those are the different places you can find me. I have a YouTube channel as well, which I don't update very often, but there's a lot of good trainings on there from what I had done in the past. There's a lot of good influencers in the venture studio space, Fastbreak and being one of them. So I think there's a lot of people to follow.
Yeah, I totally can confirm though the content is brilliant. So I totally recommend that. We will put the links here in the show notes so that everybody can continue to learn more about this whole model and dive deeper into this whole topic. A fantastic conversation. Unfortunately, we run out of time a bit, but to close this, is there maybe one last key learning you would like to hand out to our listeners? And is there maybe someone you would like to recommend we should invite to our podcast?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest takeaway for your audience, which I think is focused a bit more on corporations and bigger organizations, I've listened to a lot of the episodes. They're all really insightful. You have a couple actually on corporate venture building and this kind of concept before. So encourage listeners to go back and find those episodes too. I think the biggest takeaway that I would just say is that you're going to need an innovation strategy. In 2024, if you don't have one, you're really dead in the water. So start thinking about it, and getting in just a conversation with a venture studio is a really good first step. You're not committing to anything. You don't have to have ambitions of launching a startup anytime soon or something, but just having the initial call and getting maybe even just like an initial audit of where you're at is a good opportunity. And then you start to build a relationship with a venture studio, and you never know what's going to happen from there. So I think it's just good to connect with a studio that could help you develop an innovation strategy, because you're going to need one. That's my biggest tip. Secondly, the thing that you can do first is just to start to elevate your internal employees and like give them the creative freedom to become entrepreneurial in your organization if they want to. For someone to come on the podcast, this is an interesting question. A while ago, I interviewed Matt Bloomberg. He's the CEO and founder of a company called Bolster, which is a platform that matches CEOs with tech companies. So kind of like when you're in the stage, like let's say you are a corporate and you start to build a venture with a studio, gone through ideation validation and MVP stage, it's getting up there in terms of commercialize. You need to bring on a CEO. Like that's kind of what they do, is like CEO recruiting type stuff. And they do other things as well. But it came out of a venture studio, Hi Alpha. And Matt's a really great guy. He's super personable, but also really knowledgeable. And he's built a bunch of startups before. And he could have done anything. He's a serial entrepreneur, but he chose to go work with a venture studio instead of launch a startup on his own again. And I think that's a testament to the advantages of a studio and the power of venture studios in general. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, perfect. I think a very good advice, but also a good recommendation. We will try to reach out to Matt. And Diana, thank you very, very much for joining our conversation, bringing more light into the whole topic of venture studios. We wish you also the best with your journey.
Thank you.
Further exploring this topic and advising others in doing that. And hopefully, maybe in 1 or 2 years, we can have you again in this podcast and see how this whole landscape further evolves. Again, thank you very, very much for joining. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, Natalie, as well. You guys have been fantastic. I loved this conversation. I can't wait till it's out and we can explode on LinkedIn with it. I just can't wait to like post all these things. So very excited.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I was just going to say exactly the same as Matthias. Hopefully we can have you back sometime, for an update, because I've got about a zillion more questions.
Happy to. Thank you.